This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Real quick, get to the Common Fan website, www.commonfan.co. Sign up for the free newsletter. Like this episode, subscribe on YouTube, follow all the social media accounts, and generally keep up with all the fun and frivolity of the Common Fans. Secondly, we're recording this episode on March 1st. It will be out on Monday, March 2nd. But we want to say happy birthday, Nebraska. March 1st, year of our Lord 2026, is Nebraska's 159th birthday. The best state in the Union, the state of our birth, at least the three of us, and the home of our beloved Cornhuskers, of course. So happy birthday, Nebraska. Anybody want to have any thoughts on Nebraska's birthday real quick?
Pinch to grow an inch, am I right? You guys ever do that back in the day? Remember pinch to grow an inch? You never did that?
No. You
count down like the years of their birthday and then you'd say in a pinch to grow an inch?
That sounds boundary violating.
You never did that?
Yeah.
Nope.
You can't do that in 2026. You
can't do that these days,
not
Jeff.
Allowed.
Yeah.
Nope.
Nothing's that sort of thing's not allowed anymore.
Nope.
Happy birthday, Nebraska. Last thing before we get into the episode. Vote for the Common Fans.
All right. Yes.
Thank
Shock
you.
World.
Thank you to all of you who voted for us. Friend of the program, Michael Severe, longtime sports radio guy out of Omaha.
Recent guest.
Doing a really fun competition, a bracket style competition among 32, mostly Nebraska sports. There's some Creighton, but basically sort of Nebraska and Creighton sports focused podcasts. Thanks to all of you who voted in the first round, the Common Fans with a 52% of the vote, 52-48 victory over Nebraska Ball Hour. Hats off to Jack Mitchell and Caleb Henry. Mm-hmm. They were formidable foes, and they're both friends of the program. But that was a lot of fun. We're matched up in round two, guys, against the Pick Six
Goliath.
Podcast.
Goliath.
This is David versus Goliath. Okay.
Anything can happen.
Tom Chattel, yeah. Legend. Mm-hmm. Evan Bland. Friend of the program, Sam McEwen, the freaking editor of the Omaha World Herald sports page. All three have been on this program. All mm-hmm. three are dear friends of the program. And the Pick Six podcast is probably my favorite podcast outside of ours. It's the Pick Six podcast I've been listening to for years, since long before we had this podcast. I wish we weren't matched up with these guys just because I like them all so much. But guess what, Common Fans? You can like them too. And still vote for the Common Fan.
That's right.
All bets are
still
off.
Still vote for the Common Fan.
You can still be friends with them after the word.
Even if you like them more, it's so fun to have upsets, right? Don't you want to pick an upset?
And I say this with all love and devotion to the guys at the World Herald and the Pick Six podcast. But think about yourself, listener. Are you a Common Fan? Are you rolling up your sleeves, getting out there every day, working hard to put food on your family's table? Or are you part of the big corporate media conglomerate that is trying to?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not going to make any allegations here. But do you want to side with big corporate media? Or do you want to side with the common man, the common fan, the boys from Pie High? I think you want to side with the common fan.
Everybody wants to side with the Rebel Alliance. You know, nobody's siding with the Empire. Okay, we're not doing that here.
We're talking about small business. You know, there's like Small Business Saturday, people buying local. you know, you see those things and it's like, you know, you go buy your stuff at the big corporate store and you're lining some billionaire's pockets. You buy from us and you're putting food on the table for little Sally. You're putting a shirt on the back of little Timmy. That's the difference.
Yes, indeed.
So, and we say that with all affection.
With all due respect.
All due respect to the World Herald and Tom Chattel, Evan Bland, and Sam McEwen. Vote for the Common Fan. You have to have a Twitter account to vote. Don't be shy. Get online. All you need is an email address. Don't be shy. Or a phone number, I think, even. I should say, we don't know, as we're recording this, maybe we'll know this by the end of this recording. Michael Severe, they're pausing today. There's no competition today. He put out it would pick back up tomorrow. It's not clear. Will either be tomorrow or Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It's not clear which one. We actually asked him on Twitter if he could provide that clarity. He's not responded. Probably trying to protect the integrity of his competition.
Come on, Michael.
I respect.
Come on, Michael.
I respect.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. So as you're listening to this, Monday, March 2nd, just go to the easiest way to do it is go to Michael Severe's Twitter page or Twitter. Is it Twitter page? Whatever you call it. Find him on Twitter X. And X now. See what he's posted. And you'll see a competition on there that he's doing two per day. We're just not sure if we'll be Monday or Tuesday of this week. But
we're going to let you know.
We'll let you know. Find us on Twitter too.
I'm insufferable. He is not his dad. He
is, is at Michael Severe. It's at MikelSevera.
At Michael Severe, or just follow the Common Fans on Twitter because we're retweeting.
Yeah, we'll put it out there.
We're,
socials,
we're shamelessly
email,
absolutely
shamelessly asking for votes repeatedly. Yeah, that's right.
Do it for me.
All right, that's been a lot of fun. If anyone's still with us after that shameless plug, we got a fun episode today. Spring ball kicked off in February, the earliest any of us can remember. We talked to Gary Sharp a little bit about that last week. If you didn't have a chance to catch that episode, go back and listen to it or watch it. That was great fun. But we're kind of thinking, guys, okay, a big theme of this offseason is that the whole fan base is in prove-it mode, right? And 2025 played out. By the time it ended, it was a little more disappointing than I think a lot of Husker fans expected. We've been pretty salty, a little bit sour all of the offseason, right? And we're staring down the barrel of a really tough schedule with Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, Illinois, Washington, Iowa, all on the schedule in 2026. So one of the things we wanted to look at today, since we're in the midst of spring practice, is some individual players. And we wanted, let's flip the script a little bit. Let's check that negativity at the door just for this episode. Okay. Or maybe longer, but let's look forward with a little bit of hope. Okay. And a little bit of belief and say, if we're going to get to a point where maybe we beat a couple teams that we're not supposed to, that was a big theme of our conversation with both Gary and Michael Severe. If we beat a couple teams we're not supposed to, if maybe we take a step forward and we get to 7 or 8 wins, which would involve probably beating a ranked team or two in there, which everyone knows the Huskers haven't even done that in a while. If we're looking back 10 months from now and saying the Huskers, you know, overperformed expectations, there's going to be a certain number of players that not just have to be good, but have to excel, right? They have to hit, so to speak, right? I'm picturing being at the blackjack table and the dealer's got a 19 or a 20 and you're sitting on 14 and you have to hit. It's uncomfortable, but you get that 7 and you beat the dealer. And there's no rush like that. There's no rush like that in the world. 1-800-BETS-OFF. 1-800-BETS-OFF if you have a gambling problem.
I thought Owens was the in-house gambling degenerate.
So no.
That's supposed to be his thing. But Jeff, I can see his eyes lighting up the more you talk.
No, Jeff, it's calculated sports wagering. Calculated sports wagering
Owens
is what I'm doing.
Degenerate sports gambler, yeah. But anyway, we need a certain number of players to hit like that 7 when you hit on 14 for this season to be successful. I firmly believe that. So we got a list of 6 guys. We're going to talk through them from the Common Fan perspective that really need to hit. We'd love to hear from you. If you agree, disagree, have others to add to the list, comment on YouTube on this episode. Send us an email, commonfangbr@gmail.com, or find us at on Twitter/X at commonfangbr and contribute to this discussion. Let's get right to it. Geoff, why don't you go ahead and start us off, Geoff?
I get to go I'm going first?
You're going first, Jeff.
Thanks.
Dang it.
Guys, that's
I'm not even going to pull the rug out from under you. You just go. You just go.
Good.
I'm not even kidding.
Go right, ahead, fine. Jeff.
I'm gonna roll.
Jeff.
Thanks. I'm glad I have both of your approval. Thank you.
Yep. No, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
Okay. I will. I'm going to go.
Whenever you're ready, Jeff.
Yeah, that's great. That'd
be okay, good. Guys. I'm going to go right now. Okay. I'm going to go. 1, 2, 3. Sorry, Owens. I'm going to steal your buddy here. It's no secret if anybody's been listening to the pod in the last few episodes. Owens has gotten a little weird with his infatuation with a certain player on the team. If you've been listening, you know exactly who I'm talking about. But yeah, Owens likes to fondly refer to him as Tony C, or the rest of us probably call him Anthony Calandria. You know, a normal fan. Do you
There's
even
nothing
know
weird about it? Yeah. You don't like America. You don't like America. You don't like apple pie. That's Tony C, blonde kid, strutting his
locks.
Stuff. Running around back there making plays.
I know, Matt. I know that you like him. I'm on your side here, okay? I'm trying to give you a compliment. You're right. He needs, obviously, the quarterback's the most important position on the field. We've just been kind of striking out recently when it comes to quarterback play. I mean, we had a 5-star, and it just didn't work out the way we wanted it to. I'll admit, TJ Latif, I thought he was going to be the answer after that. Hasn't really worked out the way that you wanted it to. You can blame that on injury, whatever you want to blame it on. But this year, if we're bringing this guy in for 1 year and we're going to pay him the money that we're probably going to pay him, we got to see some results under center, definitely. Whether that's chucking the ball around the stadium, whether that's getting loose in space, we need to see some sort of leadership and production, because that's one thing I feel like on the field that we maybe have been lacking is just somebody that to show us the way, so to speak. We haven't seen a lot of that. Tony C., we're looking at Hollywood, sunglasses, flowing locks, like you're talking about, my style of ball. Let's see something out of this guy. We need this. We need this now more than ever in these dark times. We need a leader that's going to pull us up from the ashes like a phoenix, and here we go. But Tony C., that's who we need to have step up foremost more than anybody else on the team, in my opinion. Sorry, I stole your guy, Owens. I'm sorry.
No, I love that. That was very, I don't know, like a phoenix. You're talking about rising from the ashes. I love it.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have anything to add to that, Matteo?
Well, yeah, and I think Jeff's totally right. I mean, if there's anyone that you know, we're going to have on this list to talk about that had to do well, it's our quarterback. And so we'll see. I mean, the good-looking blonde kid, America, apple pie, Just you know, and I'm with you. We've talked about this before. We need somebody when things aren't going right to just say, "I'm going to make a play."
Yeah.
And really, what we mean by that is tuck the ball and go and dive for a goal line once in a while, or dive for a first down once in a while, and get up and, you know, party with your lineman for a minute and then get back and do it again. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you, Jeff.
Make something out of nothing.
We've shared this before through 3 years, 2 years as a starter at UVA, including as a true freshman. He's never redshirted. And 1 year at UNLV. He's thrown for over 7,500 yards. Completion percentage is almost 64%. 49 touchdowns, 29 interceptions. But in his most recent year, 2025, he threw for 23 touchdowns and only 9 interceptions. Also, as a rusher, he's got over 1,150 yards rushing and another 12 touchdowns there. He's also got one reception, guys, for 27 yards. So that's good.
Oh, really?
We talked about this before. You know, the numbers look good. The idea of a running quarterback, I believe so strongly in the idea of a running quarterback in the college game. So it's like, as we're saying, somebody who can, you know, improvise, make things happen on their own. I think the biggest question is, you know, he hasn't played in a Power 5 conference, and in particular the Big 10. We've seen guys come from lower levels and absolutely light it up, and we've seen guys come from lower levels and struggle. So it's a bit of an open question. It's kind of nice though, guys. I mean, I guess maybe, we were all pretty excited about Dylan, right? And that's only 2 years ago. Is that only 2 years ago? Right. So, All right, maybe this isn't totally fair, but I found myself thinking recently, like, it's really nice to be excited about the quarterback position again. And some of that is probably like the unknown. Like, you're always excited about the new shiny object that, you know, before they put anything on tape or on the field. But Man, I think the Dylan fatigue is real. We don't have to go down that rabbit hole and kind of revisit all those issues. But it was so much about him, and there were certainly some issues there. And so, like, just kind of ripping that Band-Aid off and having a fresh start with somebody that you're excited about who has a ton of experience and some pretty good numbers, it's just exciting. And I think the other thing is it's sort of like, if you want to let yourself believe the offense isn't going to be stuck in neutral like it's felt like it has been for large chunks of Rule's first three seasons, you got a new reason why. Again, we don't know if it'll play out or not. We don't know how it'll play out, but this is a different factor. This is a different factor and a different kind of quarterback that we haven't had before. That can be a reason to believe things will be better this year on offense.
Yeah, and G Sharp brought it up on our last pod. You wonder if a guy with a different skill set at the quarterback position is going to look differently with Dana Holgorsen calling plays. Are we going to get what we wanted to see out of Dana? When we found out Dana was going to be our OC, I kind of thought it was going to look a little bit more like that Wisconsin game where we're playing a little faster, we're throwing crossing routes, and we haven't really seen that. So I hope that Tony C will allow Dana to get into his bag a little bit and get to cooking.
I echo that. I was going to say the same thing. It's just hopefully Holgorsen with his play calling will set Tony C up for success like we haven't seen before. Because again, we're still on that, when are we going to quote unquote let Dana cook type of thing. We're still wondering when that's going to happen. Hopefully that's the year that this finally comes to fruition.
Love it. We could talk about Tony C all episode. So
I know Owens would want to.
We know Matt could. Yeah.
Hey, it's exciting times, boys. Yeah. Tony C.
Tony C is Ryan to Matt's Michael Scott. Okay, Matty-O. Matty-O, what do you got?
Well, you know what? If Tony C is going to have a good year, then that means we've played well on the offensive line. So I kind of thought about this. I really thought we have to have for sure at least four out of our five linemen play well. But, just to pick one for, position group sake or whatever. I think Elijah Pritchett. Okay. We weren't sure about the guy that really kind of the first half of last season, and a couple of games he didn't start. Then there's, he was jumping offside or jumping, getting false start penalties. And then by the end of the year, he might've been our best offensive lineman. And heard rumblings of him having a good offseason and being really locked in. I think for us to be successful this fall, we have to have Elijah Pritchett play well. And really the whole offensive line, but we've got these three guys coming in, the transfers that we're pretty sure they're going to start, and we don't really know about them, in a Husker uniform. But I think Elijah Pritchett, if he can play well and protect Tony C and do well in run blocking, I think the Huskers go along with him and have a good season if he has a good season.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. It's just we can't have the same scenario that we had last year and the year before where our quarterback takes two steps back and then gets immediately drilled and doesn't have any time to do anything. I'm tired of that shit. So let's fix it. This is the year they step up. I'm with you.
I love it. Well, it'll help to have a quarterback who can move as we just discussed. Yes. But I think I love that, Matty-O, because you're right. We got the three transfers, one from Iowa State, one from South Carolina, one from LSU. The hope is those are plug and play guys, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the assumption is they will come in and start. And then you've got Justin Evans Jenkins at center, who's going into his 17th year at Nebraska, I believe.
No Jenkins, though. There's no Jenkins anymore.
Oh, Justin Evans. Sorry. Justin Evans, yeah. We'll have to double check the years. It's either 16th or 17th year at Nebraska, if I'm not mistaken. I think the reason why Pritchett is so important, just to put a finer point on it, is he came from Alabama. It was a huge get at the time. And everything you said is right. By the end of the year, everyone's feeling really good about the guy. And the rumors are he's really dialed in and really sort of committed to what's going on, even with a new position coach. The word on him has always been, the potential is through the roof. He's mm-hmm. a first round NFL guy. If he can stay disciplined and learn the playbook and put it all together. And so I think the way to think about this, one way I think about it is, if he hits that potential or even gets close, that's massive for Nebraska. If he goes backward, that's equally massively bad for Nebraska. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, I think that's why you really need a guy like this to hit, right? He's that seven to get you to 21. But you really need a guy like this to like hit his potential, excel in his last year in a college uniform, and be an anchor for that offensive line at the left tackle position. And so that's why I think he's so important. I also just want to say that play at Minnesota, which was a disaster of a game, where he blocked a guy and then jumped on him on the ground. That's what we were taught to do, if I'm not mistaken. Right. We were like, you pancake the guy, you finish him off, you don't let him up. That was ridiculous. That was called a penalty. I just want to point that out.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
How about that one go?
Yeah. I can't. Like, there's a lot of things I can't let go, Joe. All right. Love Elijah Pritchett. I guess I'm up. We'll do one more on offense. I'm going to go Mekhi Nelson.
Yeah.
Very sharp. Talked a lot about him on our last episode. The staff is really high on Nelson. He looked really good in the bowl game. Okay. I pulled up his career stats. They're not going to blow your hair back. I don't have a lot of hair to begin with, but they're not going to blow your hair back. So one carry for 2 yards in 2024, 27 carries for 147 yards in 2025, averaging 5.4 yards a carry and 2 touchdowns. A lot of that was in garbage time, except for the bowl game, where again, he looked really good. Nebraska came out looking like they were going to commit to running the ball. And the first two drives, it looked really good. And a large part of that was Mekhi Nelson. Then that game in particular kind of fell apart. But you do wonder, with the threat of a running quarterback taking the defense's attention, plus we've said this multiple times now, 3 new transfer offensive linemen. The other 2 are veteran seniors. So a veteran offensive line that supposedly is really good, not 1, but 2 offensive line coaches. I think any one of us could probably get positive yardage on a pretty regular basis. I want to believe that. Maybe not Jeff, but, come on, Jeff. It was supposed to be funny. All right. Anyway,
hilarious.
All right. Wah, wah. Joke failed. But I think that Nelson has the tool. Like, is it the case that Emmett was so good and the games last season were so close that there weren't a ton of times where you said, well, let's put the, whatever he was, a redshirt freshman or whatever he was, let's put the redshirt freshman in. We kind of leaned so heavily on Emmett, which all 3 of us were cheering all season long. I mean, you kind of had to ride with Emmett and try to squeeze out 1 or 2 more wins. So could it be the case that the tools are all there and he just hasn't had his opportunity to shine yet?
Yeah.
And now the system will be better to help him shine, and the pieces around him will be optimized to let him shine. And then running backs coach EJ Berthold has shown he can develop guys. We were shouting about Emmett for long before he was playing regularly. Pat on the back to the common fans. Yes. But Berthold can turn a guy like Nelson into, maybe more than what we've seen.
I agree. Yeah. I just sucks that he has to. Before him, we had, arguably one of Nebraska's best running backs ever. And so living up to that hype is going to be a pretty damn tall order. But hopefully you're right. Maybe we just leaned so hard on Emmett last year that we just didn't need to give the ball to Nelson. And so maybe we'll give him his true time to shine this year. Pretty excited to see.
I love it. Yeah, certainly one of the best single seasons ever from Emmett. Go ahead, Medio.
I think the problem with Mekhi Nelson is something that I know friend of the program, Nicholas Olson, shares my concern. He's got like a 4th or 5th string running back's jersey number. He needs to change the jersey number. Like 35 is just such a terrible jersey number.
God,
at
no.
every level of football. Nobody wants that number. But I've heard that he like loves that number. But
all right.
Yeah, if he was a single digit or maybe something in the 20s, would be a little bit better. But I'm looking forward to see what he can do, because he did look really good in the first couple series of that bowl game. And I'm with you. I think it was more a thing like, hey, we've got this stud at running back who's got the most experience in the running back room. Like, he's going to get majority of the carries. Talking about Emmett, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we would have been if we would have been given the ball to Nelson or Mosey more, we've been complaining like, why isn't Emmett in there? Why aren't we giving Emmett the ball? What's going on here? So I think it'll be interesting. It's kind of one of those things where, they say like, oh, you've got 2 or 3 quarterbacks. And that you play them all, that means you don't have 1 good quarterback, right?
Right.
So like, yep. Kind of the same thing you wonder about the running back room. Like, we've got Nelson and Mosey and Ives. Like, if we got all these guys, but you really kind of want to have 1 go-to guy, right? Like, you want to have the guy that's going to, kind of the main dude, right? it's good to have bodies, but you want to have somebody that's like the go-to guy. So hopefully he can step up and be that guy.
I would bring up the Irish from last season, but I'm not going to go there this year, guys. I would bring that up, but I won't even say anything. You know,
wait a minute. You said you're not going to go there this year, so you're not going to talk about Notre Dame for the rest of the year.
I mean, this episode,
that would be like the best thing ever.
I won't go there. I'll leave it alone.
Real quick to interrupt, guys. We're through three impact players. We got three more to go. Michael Sevier has responded to our tweet.
I saw it.
And he said, yeah, it's the Go Big Red and the Grit and Glory regions. So that would be Chicken Nick versus Husk Guys and Locked On Nebraska versus Big Red Junkies.
So we're Tuesday.
I assume this means we're probably Tuesday. But as I look at this bracket, guys, I think we're Tuesday. Okay.
And we're Tuesday.
So keep an eye out for the Common fans on Tuesday. Again, we will email it out. We will tweet like crazy. But please keep an eye out for the Common fans on Tuesday. You can go to Michael Sevier's page on X. You can go to the Common Fan page. And we'll just have retweeted it so many times. It'll be right there for you. Please vote for the Common.
We need a breaking news thing for that.
Owens, do you still have that bullhorn from back in the day? You still have that thing from high school? I could just drive around up and down like main roads, just screaming, vote for the Common fans. Goldie Wilson. That's
Mayor Goldie Wilson.
got one upstairs. I actually have one upstairs right now. It was a gift one of the kids received. It's like a full on real megaphone with the siren on it.
I love that. Yeah. Mayor Goldie Wilson. I'm
going to decorate the Tahoe and Nebraska flags and mount one of those bullhorns on the top and just play Husker music the whole time.
Yes. I love it. I love it. All right. Vote for the Common fans.
Yes.
Okay. So far we've had three on offense, Tony C, Makai Nelson, Elijah Pritchett. Again, I think any even casual observer of Husker football is probably already pretty high on at least Calandria or excited about Calandria and Pritchett. Maybe I think I'm pretty excited about Nelson, but maybe the book is out on him. But I think those are three guys. Again, it's almost an obvious statement. You kind of have to have them take a step forward and hit and reach their potential for in any scenario where the Huskers play exceed expectations in 2026. If any of them does not, I think that's problematic for the team. Mattio.
I was going to say we didn't mention any receivers on the offensive side for this, but we obviously need Barney and Hunter to do well. We need Barney to get some different cleats or something. He falls down too much.
Well, we're going to have an honorable mention section, Mattio. So,
sorry.
We can talk more about that then. No, that's okay.
Okay, sounds good.
I thought we talked about that before we hit record, but maybe you weren't listening.
I probably wasn't. Self-awareness, boys.
I'm just kidding. I love you. All right, moving on to the defense. Geoff, who do you got? You can go first. You can go first.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to go. Guys, I'm going to go.
Great.
Okay. So remember last season when like anytime we had a game coming up, the first thing that we would always ask was two questions. Do they have a mobile quarterback and can they run the ball? And immediately if there was a yes to either one of those two questions, everybody's like, oh, Jesus. Oh, God, we're screwed. And then we went through all of last season. Let's be honest. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Like on the defense side of the ball, we sucked in the trenches. We just sucked. I'm sorry. I'm just saying it. That's as polite as
you don't have to apologize, Jeff.
So, and even during the transfer portal time this year, I feel like a lot of people would argue that we whiffed on picking up players out of the portal as well. And arguably the area of our defense that needed the most work, we completely missed on. And then you could say, well, hopefully the players that are returning are good enough and are going to be developed well enough that they're going to kind of take on this load and have a bigger impact. So hopefully Riley Van Poppel is one of those people this next season, because Lord knows if we're going to have any chance of winning or irking, squeaking out any of these close games. And again, you know, a lot of these, even the ones we should win, are going to be close games. We've got to be able to shut them down, whether that's running the ball by the quarterback or stopping the run from the running back. We need some of these veteran players to step their game up and advance and take it to the next level. So RVP, you're my guy. Make it happen this year, my dude. We need you.
Yes, we do, Jeff.
Love that. Matty O, anything to add to that?
Well, you know, I think it's well documented my love for the trenches and the big fellas, especially on the defensive side. I really, and we talked to Gary, again, we talked to Gary a little bit about this. Like, I really expected more out of our VP this last season. Some of the plays he made as a backup when we had Nash and Ty, I was like, man, this guy's going to fill right in when they leave, and it's, we're going to hit the ground running, and no, we're not going to miss a beat. And we didn't get that. And, you know, some of that, again, might be scheme and you know, the system you're running and things like that. So maybe he's better off, you know, playing a little bit further outside on the D line than lining up right, you know, in the A gap or over the center. So hopefully that's what it is, and that'll help. Because we need somebody in the trenches to be like the dude. Like, great to have multiple dudes, but you got to have a leader in the middle of the defense there.
Well, the thing about RVP is, like, even Rhule, wasn't he the one that Rhule said he redshirted in 24, I think it was, after, so he didn't redshirt in 23, redshirted in 24, and then played 25. So, like, Rhule was the one who said he had basically had a talk with RVP and said, you can play this year and be pretty good, or you can redshirt in 24, and then you can be Ty Robinson in 2025. Again, did nice that Rhule was you know, trying to pump up his player. Maybe don't get the fan base all excited about a guy and set him up for failure like that. I also think, as Gary pointed out, it may have been an issue with the scheme last year as much as anything. And so maybe if he's got, you know, he's now got 3 years under his belt of in the program and in the weight program and all those things. And ideally, he's going to be in a system that, you know, plays more to his strengths. Maybe this is a year that he takes off. And we talked about this before. It took Nash and Ty. I think nobody ever thought of them as bad at any point, but it took them till that fourth, fifth, sixth year to be the dominant factors that they were on the defensive line. So I mean, what are you going to say something there?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't going to say a damn thing.
Okay.
You said it perfectly.
Great. All right. Any other thoughts on RVP?
I just love people with names like that. I love people where you can use their initials like that. It just sounds really cool.
Like G-E-L?
G-I-L. G off in Lincoln.
Jeffrey Ackland.
Watch your mouth.
His official middle name is now in.
You went full government on me now?
That's your name. That's
full
your name.
Government
is it,
on
is
me.
Is it not?
You are a real piece of work. You're a real piece of work, you know.
All right. Matty O, who do you got?
We need somebody on the second level to step up and make some plays. I think it was, and we've talked about it a little bit, but there wasn't, like Jeff said, we were blaming heavily, putting a lot of blame on the defensive line for the struggles in the run game. When in reality, you know, later in the season, I felt like people kind of finally started to say, well, maybe the linebackers aren't filling in the run fits properly either. And there was, you know, a decent amount of that. So I'm going with new guy, transfer, a lot of buzz around him, Owen Chambliss. Midwest, what do they call it? Mountain West, almost said Midwest. Mountain West, all first team defense, 100 and plus tackles, 109 tackles or something like that. He's going to be playing in the Big Ten where it's a little bit different. Everybody's faster and bigger. But I watched a little bit of his highlights from last year. And you can tell the guy's got a lot of instinct. Like, there's a couple of screen plays, and he just kind of hung back there and watched the play develop, and then boom, just went up and made the play on the running back. We need a guy that's like an eraser, right? Like, you hear about certain defensive players, an eraser. Levante David was an eraser. You know, we need somebody like, okay, our coverage wasn't right or run fits weren't right, but this guy made the play and held him to a 2 yard gain instead of like busting it for a first down. We need a guy that's going to make those kind of plays. We haven't really had a lot of those types of guys the last few years. We've had good tacklers and good defenders, but no erasers, in my opinion. So it'll be interesting to see how he transitions to the Big Ten, how that goes. But I know we need guys at linebacker. They're going to make plays, make tackles, make good run fits, stop those guys for a 1 yard gain instead of letting them get 5 or 6 or 7 yards. Owen Chambliss.
Love that. So he was at San Diego State last year. So he played for Rob Orich. He'll come in knowing the system. I think that helps. That's exciting. 109 total tackles, 68 of those solo tackles. He also had 4 sacks, some pretty big numbers. And he's listed as a junior, too. So we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, as the offseason goes on. We've talked about it a little bit. But I love how Nebraska kind of just completely remade their linebacker room. Right. We had the Marquez Watson Trent last year, who's probably undersized for the Big Ten. Okay, contributor, but not a huge standout. Vincent Shavers has been an animal for 2 years, but you know, he's a young guy and he also can't do it all himself. And he played half the year with, you know, didn't he have a big club on his hand?
Club on his hand.
Of the year? Yeah. So, and I'm gonna mention in the honorable mention another guy that we added in the linebacker room, but just love how we added how we sort of plussed up the linebacker room. Really excited about Chambliss in particular. And again, he's only a junior, so we got him for 2 years. He's huge.
Big.
Geoff, anything to add to that?
Well, one more thing. And he's gonna be playing in the same system. You know, he's coming to Nebraska with his defensive coordinator. So that is huge. For him to already know all the terminology, be able to communicate that to the other linebackers, be able to talk to the front guys and on the D line. Tuck the guys behind him in the defensive backfield. So that's huge.
Yes.
Can't get any worse, right? There's my final thought. Can't get any worse, huh? Right?
Okay.
Can't get
Dynamite
any worse,
drop right?
this
in,
was,
Jeff.
This was supposed to be a slightly more positive episode, Jeff.
I am. It can't get any worse. It can only go up from here. That's positive. We're going up the
floor. Oh, damn it, Jeff. All right.
Man. Stay in the light, Jeff.
I'm fair-skinned. I burn
all right.
easily.
So we've got one defensive lineman and one linebacker. I should probably pick somebody from the defensive backfield, but I'm not going to do that. Okay. I'm going to go with Cameron Lenhart, who kind of hard to believe, but he's now a senior listed as an edge rusher. Lenhart was a freshman All-American, right? If I'm not mistaken. It feels like it was Cam Lenhart and Prince Will Umanmielen, who Prince Will is no longer here. Those two guys were like animals as true freshmen, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe they were probably helped by like Nash and Ty, like taking up a ton of space in the middle. And then they could, you know, they certainly benefited from that. But the point is the tools are there, right?
Yeah.
And then Lenhart, the last 2 years, I think 24 in particular, it felt like he took a step back. And then 2025, I think he was a more regular and more regular in the rotation and a more solid contributor. But again, the focus of this episode is guys hitting their full potential, guys excelling, right? And being leaders and not just of the team, but leaders in production and making impact plays and forcing turnovers and all those things. And so what is one thing that Nebraska has not done very well for years is get to the quarterback. So if you can have a guy like Lenhart busting out, getting to the quarterback, wreaking havoc in the backfield, tackles for loss, all those things, I think that's going to be huge for Nebraska's defense and for their season overall. So I don't think it's a stretch that we have essentially 2 defensive linemen out of the 3 defenders that we picked. I'm a huge Cam Lenhart fan, would love to see him have his best season yet in 2026. I think it's not a stretch to say Nebraska needs him to do that.
Man, wouldn't that just be refreshing? You're so right. Like, I just yearn for the days of being able to put pressure on the damn quarterback. Like,
oh,
it's just, you know,
I felt like we had a standout, like individual, like that was probably Randy Gregory in 2014. Honestly, like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Bo's defenses over the years tended to be pretty good at getting to the quarterback and forcing turnovers. And so, you know, there's a probably a run of guys, right? You know, 2014 was Bo's last year. So 2014 and prior, I think it was like you could have a reasonable expectation that we would occasionally take the ball away. We would occasionally sack the quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's like mind-boggling, maddening how much those things have kind of not been factors. The only ways in which they've been factors for Nebraska are where people are doing it to us.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
God. You know, and I'm not going to pretend to be like an X's and O's guy or like a scheme expert, but I can't help but wonder if like a 4-man front is just generally better at that. Not necessarily just getting sacks, but like getting to the quarterback.
Well, it's just simple math.
You're rushing four and you still got, you know, your three linebackers and or two linebackers and five DBs. I guess we're going to be playing more of a 4-4-2-5 now. But
I mean,
yeah,
I think
and Lenhardt's again, like that's another guy that I think the different system, different scheme is probably better for him. You know, he's maybe an every down lineman on the edge there in a four man front.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And he's got good size to him, so that I think he can help hold up well in the run game. But yeah, we need guys to get to the quarterback.
Yeah,
I think what Tony White would say is, and I don't disagree with you, and I'm getting way out on an island here of what's an area that's not my expertise. I think what Tony White would say, yeah, the base was 3-3-5, but we did all sorts of looks and formations out of that, and sometimes we had four guys on the line, sometimes we had five guys on the line, like whatever. So you're not like, I don't disagree with you, Matty O. But I do think like the idea behind the 3-3-5 was that it was really flexible and you could move guys around and whatever. Right?
I get that.
But there's a difference.
EJ? There's a difference between bringing a linebacker down to be on the line versus like you have a freaking defensive end who's putting his hand in the dirt and getting out. Like, cause sometimes they bring like that linebacker down and have to rush against a really good tackle. And then it seems like they could either, if they can't get by him with speed, they're not getting by him. Right. So I don't know. And maybe that's just my take on it, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, it wasn't working before. It wasn't working. So we're trying something different, damn it. That's what we're going to do.
Don't get angry, Jeff. Don't get angry.
Sorry. Oh, I know it's a positive. I also do want to see like, I love one of my favorite defensive plays that Nebraska never gets to do, but we see everybody else do it successfully, is when you get somebody off the edge that comes around and the quarterback doesn't even see him coming and they've got the ball back like this and they get the hand on it. And then you got to do that review of whether or not his hand went forward or not.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to see. Can we just do that once this year? Those are fun. I love
those. We don't get those very much.
I love those.
I don't remember that. I don't remember the last time. I don't remember the last time we saw a Nebraska defender do that. But yeah, I love that. Okay, love it. There's six players that Nebraska absolutely has to have hit this year, excel, what have you, in order for them to even hope to take a step forward. We have a little bit of time. Let's leave it. Let's have a discussion. Any others that were sort of on the line or you want to throw in there, we'll call them honorable mentions. Anybody else you want to throw in there? Matty, you mentioned the receivers.
We got to talk about the receivers and I don't want to take two guys, but I'll just say Barney.
You can say as many as you want.
Barney and Hunter have to make plays.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see some of the younger guys. I know I'm many, many people, including myself, really excited about Quinn Clark and what he can do and his size and athleticism. But we need those dudes that have experience like Barney and Hunter to make those plays and not to slip and fall when they're in the open field. And I just really excited and want to see what they can do with Tony C. Cause I think Tony C is going to get the ball out quick and he's maybe going to take some chances where down the field, whereas maybe Dylan didn't. I think it's kind of one of those things. It's kind of crazy where we've got so many talented guys in the wide receiver room. Like I'm not really worried about that position group. So that's why we talk about these things. It's kind of like, oh, I'm not really worried about the receivers. So they'll do what they do, I think.
I hope we'll see. I just distinctly remember there was a few times where Dylan would catch somebody, and would get somebody wide open, not wide open, but would throw a pretty decent ball. And for some, whatever reason, Hunter made some good catches last year, but they also had some inexplicable drops. So let's see some awesome make a play moment catches this year from our wide receivers when you have to have it. That's all I'm saying.
And let's not forget, again, like we don't need to list the whole roster, but it's Kwazi Gilmer guy from UCLA. I had in my head he's a senior. He's only a junior. He spent two seasons at UCLA. And he's kind of that, you know, replacement, big-bodied wide receiver. Why is the name escaping me? Who was the senior from Kentucky?
Dane Key.
Replacement for Dane Key. But I mean, I think that trio of guys, plus some of the younger guys like Cortez Mills, you've got some great pieces to work with there. And again, we need more impact plays from those guys. Another one I thought of, just keeping on the offensive side of the ball, is Carter Nelson. And kind of, you know, we all know he's a freak athlete. He's a native Nebraska kid. He's been kind of MIA for 2 years, right? I think it's 2 years now. Battled some injuries. He's got size. He's got athleticism. You know, Luke Lindenmeyer is going to be your go-to guy at the tight end position. But man, if a guy like Carter Nelson could break out, just one more option of somebody of a game-changing player to get the ball to, I think that would be significant. The other guy I thought of, we talked about the linebackers a little bit, Dexter Foster from Oregon State, also a junior. So we'll have another year. So we'll have 2 years of Owen Chambliss and Dexter Foster holding it down at the linebacker spot, along with Vincent Shavers, who's a junior as well. That's a pretty exciting picture when you throw all those guys together and think about all those guys together. Don't forget wedding reception intel. Uncle Brad Dexter told me Dexter Foster was the best guy on Oregon State's team.
There's nothing more reliable than a few drinks deep insider information at a wedding reception. It's absolutely insider, 100% reliable.
Insider information that you only get from the common fans.
Yes.
But you know, I don't remember Oregon State. I don't think won a game. Maybe they won one game. They weren't very good. But Dexter Foster was the best player on that not very good team. Yeah. And again, the only thing like we haven't mentioned, guys, is the defensive backs. We haven't mentioned one defensive back. The only thing I would say there is, Andrew Marshall's coming back. We got the transfer safety also from San Diego State. So he'll come in. You assume McDougal, he's going to know the defense. He's going to be the quarterback of the defensive backfield. Let's go back to the turnover conversation. It's another, like we've had some pretty good defense. Andrew Marshall was really good last year. And, come on, number 15, transfer from USC, Sayre Wright. Sayre Wright was really good for, you know, the year before that and part of last year. Like we've had some really good individual performances from defensive backs. Mm-hmm. We need them to take the ball away more.
Right? Yeah.
And even last year, like for most of the year last year, remember we kept saying the defense isn't as good. They're not quite meeting the eye test, but we're the number two passing defense in the country. We're really good at stopping the pass, which we were. But even then, before the bottom fell out the last three games, we weren't intercepting the ball.
Right.
We weren't taking the ball away. I would love, like what I thought we were going to get with Rhule, especially after year one, when the defense got so much better compared to before he was there. I thought the next step was going to be this swarming, athletic defense that sacked the quarterback and took the ball away. And it feels like we just said this 10 minutes ago. We've been waiting for that since Pelini's first few years, I feel like. And so I really hope we can see that. It's a combination of probably scheme and playmakers. But if Nebraska's, here's the deal. We don't need to get into the schedule all over again. I don't think 6-6 is going to cut it. And depending on who you beat, 7-5 might still make people angry, even with the schedule.
Oh, it will.
Like no one's going to say, well, they went 5-7, but the schedule is really hard. That's okay.
No, that's not it.
Or even 6-6. No one's going to say that. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go 7-5 or 8-4 for people to feel like the bottom is not falling out. And that's going to involve beating some people you're not supposed to. So I don't think people are going to be happy with, well, they were 6-6, but they were definitely better than the year before. People aren't going to be happy with it. You got to find your way to more W's, which means you need a lot of these guys, whether they've been on the roster or their transfers, to hit.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. I love it. All right. Mm-hmm. Any final thoughts, gentlemen? This was a fun exercise.
Twas.
It's a really interesting roster. I'm kind of excited to see. What are they doing for spring ball? Is it like, are we back to playing a game? Or are they doing the stupid skills contest again?
I think they're playing a spring game. That's embarrassing. We don't know that.
It's kind of become that. It's like, who cares? Yeah. But it's one of those years where I'm like, okay, new quarterback, new bunch of new guys. Like,
that's
I'm
all new stuff.
I'm interested. I'm probably not going to attend, but I would like to watch it if there's a TV version.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Jeff. Like you said, man, with anything new, we've got a bunch of people coming in. Obviously, it's going to be exciting just to see what they have in the bag this year. I'm still going to try and remain positive. It's going to be great if we can get to 6-6 or 7-5, but we'll just see how it pans out, man.
It's not going to be great if we get to 6-6, Jeff. We're going to be very upset if we get to 6-6. We just said that.
All right.
All right. Well, as we've said many times, there's so many open questions, and we're really not going to get the answers until they start playing.
No.
Until the bullets are live and they start playing games. One thought, too, about the really boring, uninspiring non-conference schedule. It gives you three games, again, taking nothing for granted, which we can't do after the last 15 years, but it gives Mekhi Nelson three games to figure some things out. It gives some of these defenders, transfers, or whoever else three games to figure out the system before we get into conference play. Like that's a sneaky, low key benefit of going into this season that'll be really helpful in an otherwise really challenging schedule. What's that face, Matt? Why are you looking at me like
that? I don't know. Can we go to Doomsday for just very briefly? This has been a very positive episode.
Yeah,
Could you imagine? Freaking lost one of those first three non-con games. Do we fire Rule right away, or do we just string the thing out?
No, he doesn't. I don't think there's any scenario where he gets fired in 20. Even if he misses a bowl game in 26, I don't think he gets fired.
Yeah.
But I mean, we've made the way we've talked about it so far this year has been the HMS Rule. People used to be skipping around, not paying attention at all. And very happy.
Shuffleboard on the deck.
Yeah, believing that the ship was sturdy and headed in the right direction. And then now we're kind of in this place where it's taken on some water. A few passengers have activated lifeboats. Most are still on board.
Let's check the lifeboat here. Lifeboat says it holds
most are 16 still on board.
Women, four children.
A lot more kind of keeping one eye on the captain, trying to figure out if he knows what he's doing. People are measuring the lifeboats, making sure there's enough for everybody, that kind of thing. Can you imagine the abandoned ship mentality if we lost one of those first three games and just all the lifeboats would be gone?
See ya.
99% of the passengers.
Even those people. Even those people playing the violins on the deck would be running and screaming for them. It's over.
Poor Matt Rule, like every single damn athletic program at the University of Nebraska right now seems to be having success.
Yes.
And it's like, it's really, really holding his feet to the fire in a way that maybe it's not really fair. I mean, we have two bowl games in a row. We didn't go for whatever, 8 years, two bowl games in a row, but it just sucks for him. Okay, men's basketball is having like the best season they've ever had. And volleyball is good as always. And I don't know, bowling's probably going to go to the Final Four again. Baseball just beat a top 10 team the other night. Like Matt Rule's got to be sitting there like, okay, oh crap, okay.
Even better. That needs to happen. Good.
Yeah.
Get some fire under his ass.
They're driving it down, guys.
I will say, Matteo, that is a really good point. It's funny because I think that the success of the men's basketball team in particular this year has simultaneously like eased the pain of the Husker fan base, but also kind of like added to the irritation with football and sort of the eye rolling about everything in football. It's like, okay, Fred's figured it out now. You know, Fred figured it out too, Matt. When are you going to do it?
Yeah.
But I also think even if Hoiberg was having a losing season and it was another bad basketball season and other teams weren't having success, I don't think the expectations or the desire would be different for football.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, sure. Like I don't think people would be any happier with 7-6 or any happier with the way the season ended.
No.
Do you think, right? So don't you think if the basketball team wasn't having this kind of season, it was just a standard, you know, they're around hovering 500. Do you think we're talking like, we, meaning Husker sports fans in general, are talking more about how much pressure is on the football team this fall?
I kind of do. Yeah. I don't like. I think there's clearly a level. It's not just us. We're like Michael pointed it out. There's clearly a level of sort of unrest and angst in the fan base, specific about football. And I don't think I think that would be there. And it would just be like we'd need somewhere to direct that energy if we didn't have basketball.
Exactly.
And so it would be even more focused on what's going on with the football team and what needs to get right and what we're doing wrong and all those things. I mean, I think it would honestly be kind of painful.
Yeah. Gift and a curse this spring for Nebraska men's sports.
I mean, I'm not going to go too far here. I love Husker fans, and I'm as crazy as they get at times. Some of this stuff that I see on Twitter about the basketball team as they just keep winning is it makes you want to pull your hair out and just say, enjoy the 25-4.
Yeah. Just, oh, because people are nitpicking things, you mean?
People nitpicking things about how they won. And it's the footballization of fandom.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
it's the footballization
of
fandom.
Win pretty.
It's not, you got to win pretty, and you know, you can't have any losses. And even we all, as football fans, we still sort of have those expectations, I feel like, of Nebraska, at least getting back to that point eventually in football. But it's like, I mean, everybody has ebbs and flows and dips.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Illinois just lost to UCLA.
Yeah.
It was a pretty, I mean, they're UCLA's better, probably better than average, but they're not a top, I don't think they're even in the top 25 right now. And
right.
then they turn around and lose by 18 to Michigan, a team that Nebraska almost beat. Like, Illinois is a really good team. And when they came to Lincoln, they were probably as hot as any team in the country. And so it's just funny that, like, our four losses this year are all, except for Iowa, that are all to, like, basically top 10-ish teams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we could have won every single one of those games. And it's just like, enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Okay. We were down for a while to Northwestern or whatever. We were down at the half to fill in the blank. And then we won by 20. Enjoy it.
It's basketball.
It drives me nuts.
It's a 31 game regular season. Like, you can't expect them to come out and play their absolute best every single game through injuries, through illnesses, through all those things. Yeah, people just need to, like, hey, just...
And as of this moment, we have, what, UCLA and Iowa, and that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
As of this moment, we're in line for a triple bye in the Big Ten tournament and our potentially best finish ever in the Big Ten. That would be huge. Give them time to rest. Give them time to get a little healthier.
Hopefully
they win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament, and then they're kind of refreshed and ready to go for the NCAA tournament. But, like... Man, top 10, 15 team this year. Enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy it. Yep.
And I'm the first one to, like, nitpick, especially about football. So I totally get it, and I love you all, Husker fans, and we're all crazy together and in a good way. All right, boys. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Good episode.
Great episode.
March.
Good times.
It's March, guys.
Yeah.
March 1. Happy birthday.
Not a February. Yeah. The worst month of the year. It's over. We made it, guys.
That's right.
March. Yes.
All right, Comet fans, be kind to each other. And on Tuesday, be on the lookout. Vote for the Comet fans.
Yes.
Don't forget. Vote for the Comet.
Vote for us.
Vote for us. Vote for yourself. You're a Comet
fan. That's what it is. We're all in this together. You're a listener, then you're a Comet fan. We're all in this together. It's going to take every single one of us.
We're all
going to take every single one of us, guys.
That's right. All right, Comet fans, we'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Holy moly! Man, woman, and child did that. Put them in the aisles. And Nebraska takes the lead. And the national championship is Nebraska's.